Hey everyone, welcome to Past Lives and the Divine, the podcast where we talk about the many angles of getting to know ourselves through past lives and all the divine avenues for remembering, learning, thinking, and maybe if we're lucky, a little bit of laughter sprinkled in there. I am your host, Gina, and today I'm joined by Sarah Leverett, our in-house oracle reader. She is the founder of Intuitive Powerment. She is an oracle reader, hypnotherapist, coach, and just an all-around really cool soul. And I had the pleasure of meeting Sarah in person recently, and it was so much fun. And meeting her in person, she comes across the same as she does on the podcast. Super laid back, fun, wicked smart and intuitive, and it was just such a pleasure to be in her company. Okay, these oracle episodes, this is our second oracle episode. Our intention is to do this every month so you can go and look at all the past lives and the divine episodes. You can pull out an oracle episode that calls to you, kind of like an oracle card. Listen to it in the future, see what you can take from it, get curious about how you could apply that information to your life in a way that feels good for you, because you are the one who knows the most. You can catch the links to previous episodes that Sarah has joined me on this podcast for in the show notes. I will link those, and I will also link her Instagram and her website. And you can check out all of that stuff. Make sure to say hi to Sarah. Let her know you heard her episode. Thank her for sharing this wisdom. And you can check out episode number 58 specifically for more on the background of what an oracle is and how Sarah gets her intuitive downloads. Okay, are you ready for this conversation? Let's jump right in. Gather around the fire for our oracle card reading with Sarah Leverett. Hello, everyone. I'm here with Sarah Leverett again doing our oracle card episodes. So just a little reminder, we'll be doing these episodes every single month. So if you need a little insight, you could scroll quickly through all the oracle episodes in the past and pick a random title, like picking an oracle card yourself. So listen to that, or you can listen to it in real time. But this card reading is something for us to just kind of sink into. Listen to what Sarah's interpretation is, listen to our conversation about it, and then see how it applies to your life. And in what I like to do, especially when I'm like, that does not apply to me right now, I like to go, if this were to apply to me, what would that look like? Sometimes when we come at it from a different way, it can seem, it can give us a little bit different perspective on our life. And there's a reason you're listening right now. So maybe it is just that you're subscribed and I'm just talking in your ear, but take what you want, just leave the rest. Okay, Sarah, are you ready?
I am. I'm so excited to be here and having this conversation with you this morning.
Excellent. I am so excited and I'm so happy we're doing this every month. okay. So tell me a little bit about the deck you're using. Is it the same deck as last time? And again, on the day that this podcast episode is released on Instagram, Sarah and I both share the picture of the card and the episode. So you can kind of see it all together in one spot if you want.
Yeah, I felt like there was a little bit of spark when I mentioned the Literary Witches Oracle deck last time. And so I think we'll use that one this morning. That feels right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I am going to ask us just to take a few deep breaths together, like last time, and just get settled in. Become a little bit more aware of your body. And on each inhale, breathing in that loving light of protection. And on each exhale, letting go of that which is no longer serving you. I'm just asking all of the spirit teams, for everyone out there listening, to come together and provide any insights, any guidance, any wisdom and help us to remember that that real power lies within, and we can tap into our own intuition at any time, with or without the cards. Already so grateful for the insight and the wisdom that will come up today. We'll just pull a card that the collective will resonate with now or anytime in the future when the listener finds this episode. Right. Okay, so the first card that came up, this is Octavia Butler. So similarly to tarot, this deck has, I guess, some like what you would consider more major cards, and those are the authors that are without in the deck. So this this card is Octavia Butler, and the theme of this card is the future. The future. And I've only read one book by Octavia Butler. And so I'm going to mostly go off of what I know of her as an author and what's coming up about the future. Octavia Butler, she comes up in a lot of conversations about feminism. She does a lot of science fiction work, which I think works really well for this theme of the future. And for the listeners who may have not seen the card posted on Instagram, it's an image of Octavia Butler. And again, this is the deck that has a little bit of a darker theme. Her arm is almost like, I don't know, like maybe like a squid or an octopus arm. There's an image of like a ghoulish character, and it seems like she's either like experimenting or exploring or kind of trying to learn more about him, almost like an alien type image. And there's this other arm like pulling that character down deeper. There's a character kind of growing out of her hand. And then there's like this portal in the right corner to somewhere else. It's like all of these different portals. So what this is bringing up for me is just this idea that we get so caught up in our future, what we're trying to manifest, and we get so worried and so anxious about how things are going to look, how things are going to play out. And time is a construct. And what really matters is getting rooted down in the present moment. And not forgetting about all of the wisdom you've brought with you from before, not forgetting about all the abundance that's waiting for you in the future. And it's important to dream and to wish and to get clear on what it is you're trying to create for yourself. But it's just as important to sit in the present moment with the tough things, the feelings. Like when the anxiety arises about the future, it's important to get in the present moment and to work on feeling that. You know, as I was moving through grief in my past, I really had to reckon with this idea of the only way out of something is through something. The only way to get to the future that you're trying to manifest, the only way to get to the dreams that you're actualizing, is to get in the present moment and move through whatever it is that you need to move through. You have to lighten your load. You have to release some of that baggage because it's weighing you down. And you can't just put it behind you and forget about it. You have to work with it. You have to feel it. You have to sit in it. And when I look deeper at this card, it's also almost this idea of, you know, sacrifice too. And sacrifice, I think, gets a pretty bad rap because it feels like we have to give up a part of ourselves or give up something that we don't want to give up. But to me, sacrifice is more wrapped up in commitment and discipline. It's more wrapped up in deciding what it is you want to commit to. And then sacrifice comes when you're letting go of the things that are no longer serving you. So it's not that you necessarily need to sacrifice the things that you want, but it does mean that you might have to put in a little bit of extra work or a little bit of commitment or a little bit of discipline. But the trick is that when you're working towards something you want in your future, when you're working towards something that means a ton to you, the sacrifice doesn't necessarily have to feel so heavy because you know your intention, you're rooted in what it is that you're creating for yourself. And yeah, it's just like the image here with the portals, it just really solidifies for me this idea of like time being a construct, and that if we allow ourselves to stay stuck in the past, it's almost like we're portaling ourselves there without even knowing it. It's like we're not even present and in our body and with the people around us because our mind has taken us to the portal of the past. And the same thing with the future. If we're worried and anxious about the future, then we're portaling ourselves to a future that is not what we want. We're in this like really confusing, uncertain place. But if we're in the present moment and we allow ourselves to portal ourselves to a future that is peaceful and happy and joyful and abundant, then that's what the universe is going to respond to. The universe is going to respond to those feelings about your future. And so that's why it's so important to move through some of those tougher feelings in the present moment.
Oh, God, Sarah, that was really good. I was scratching down a bunch of notes for things I want to say next, but also just like personal. So thank you. Okay, so I love... Okay, so first what I'll start with is that idea of sacrifice. And that was so interesting to me because it's not a word that I use. And when I think of sacrifice, I think of like the hypocritical Catholicism that I was brought up in. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that's something where it's like, I kind of put it in that bucket. Like, this doesn't really apply to me. That's not really how I'm going about life. But then something else that you said after that reminded me of something else that I've been thinking about, where it's like everything has like in astrology, every sign, every energy, every transit has like a higher vibration or a more positive shade or essence to it. And then there's always that other side, the shadow side, the, you know, more negative, lower vibration, however you want to describe it. And I think that that's true for every single thing that we do. And it's, we can choose what to focus on when. And sometimes it's good to focus on like the negative or the things that could happen, so you can prepare and then rest in the present moment, you know? And so it also too, with this, as we're crafting our life, as we're like, especially as the pandemic, well, I think numbers, well, at least as we're recording this, some numbers are back on the rise, but as we move to a space where we're more social, this reminder of like, every time we say yes to something, we're saying no to something. Mm. And so there's always like this push-pull in it. And even on that card, how it's kind of like, or at least from what I could see, it almost looks like something's coming up from the bottom of the card to try to pull down. And then that portal is on the top, almost like it's reaching, trying to get something to come its way. So I see that dynamic there too. And along with that, I think I've said this in other podcast episodes, it's like it is a little bit of a sacrifice. Every time I say yes to something or someone, I am choosing. I'm choosing my future. Every time I don't make a decision, that's still a decision, you know? And I really liked how it was like the, like that essence of the past and the future and how they're always kind of pulling us. And I think it's a reminder for me, something that I wrote down was like, as I'm in the present moment, making decisions, taking action, if it's relevant and appropriate, or if I'm thinking about the past or overthinking the past, I think of like, how can I honor my past, the wisdom, the suffering of my past, the strengths I've gained in my past? How can I honor that in this present moment? Whether I'm just like, wow, I've come a long way, and I'm just keeping that privately to myself, or maybe I'm making a decision that's a little bit scary, but I've been working really hard for it, or, you know, where we're in the present moment, we can honor our past, come back to the present moment, you know, learn for it, use it as we plan that future. And so it's like honoring the past and helping our future self, but then always snapping back into that present moment. Yeah. Oh, okay. So if I think of like, so what I like to do and what I love about the way you do these things, Sarah, is this idea of like, okay, now what does that mean to you? Like taking that. So as the listener is listening, see where that is like a reminder, a wake-up call, a little tap in your life. Like maybe you're obsessing about the future and this is like the wake-up call where it's like, you can keep doing that or you'd be a little bit happier if you didn't. Or maybe you're obsessing about the past. Because like you said, Sarah, it is a portal. Like when we think of something, we do transport ourselves to there on some energetic level. And I do it, and we can feel it, right? Like if I have something stressful coming up in 2 weeks, I can feel sweaty, nauseous, nervous about it right now. And my body doesn't know the difference. My body is feeling it as if I was living it right now. And so even my body, you could say, is like traveling to this future moment that may or may not exist, but I'm poisoning the present moment with it, or not poisoning, but like tainting it. And Earth is hard enough. Like we don't need to pile more shit on.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
So as you were talking and I was looking at this card, a couple things came up for me. Number one, this idea of perspective that you were talking about. This was Monday that we had a full moon in Scorpio. And that same idea of perspective came up for me as I was reflecting and kind of tapping in for the full moon energy. And this idea that we are all alchemists. We are all magicians in the present moment. If we choose to use our perspective as magic, if we choose to look at what it is we're facing, whatever challenge, whatever struggle, whatever obstacle, if we are willing to sit with that, so not ignore it, not push it down, not distract ourselves, but really sit with it and see, okay, what is my current perspective? What perspective would make me feel a bit more peaceful? We have the power just through that shift in perspective to create magic for ourselves. Like you can look at a really bad day and you can get stuck in, oh, I lost so much time, or, oh, I wish I would have said this, or, oh, I can't believe so-and-so did this to me. Or we can look at it as, okay, I've had a tough day. I'm feeling anger. How can I use this anger to make change in my life? And if so, like, what am I trying to change? What am I trying to move towards? If we're willing to ground down in that, like we tap into our magic. I truly believe that we are alchemists and that we can kind of shift our experience just by our perspective. Think that's definitely right, for sure.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love that idea of like perspective is or as magic.
Mm.
Like that is your magic. And Sarah, I know you right now are working with A Course in Miracles, just personally. And I think it's from A Course in Miracles where they talk about what a miracle really is. And it's just like these tiny shifts.
Oh, yeah.
And when you said that, it reminded me of, I don't know if this is like a teacher of the Course in Miracles or if A Course in Miracles says this, but it's this idea of like, when we're in that space, or I should say, when I'm in the space of, like, I just, I know I don't want to feel a certain way, but someone's just really driving me crazy. Or someone sends a text and I'm just like, what the fuck was that supposed to mean? You know? And I will, if I remember, which I don't often remember, but when I do, it is it is magic. But it's this idea of like the prayer or the mantra that I say, or when I remember to say it, it feels really good. It's like, I am praying to be able to see this differently. I am willing to see this differently. I'm willing to see this differently. And when I say that, I imagine being like, hey, spirit guides, I'm going to need, you know, if you're teaching visually, I'm going to need an audio lesson. You know what I mean? Just like come at it from a different way. I need to see this in a different way. And, yeah. And I see that a lot. I don't know if it's my Libra nature, but I see that a lot, like in relationship with people, of just this idea of relationships are just always, I think they're reflections for all of us, but being able to see ourselves in different lights, not only when people trigger us or like when people are reflecting back on what we've done to them and maybe we don't agree or we do, but it's yeah. just like, this really great thing when I'm feeling a struggle, a frustration, a miscommunication between someone else to be like, I'm willing to see this differently, and then have fucking faith that like this idea is going to bubble up in my head in 3 hours and it'll be like, okay, I guess this isn't so bad. Or, okay, I guess I can see their point of view. And it's just like this slight ease. And even if my whole life isn't smooth because of it, if you're paying attention, your perspective can make you feel that even more. It's like that power, that strength. And just the more often we can touch that power, that strength, that magic, I think just the better we feel. We feel more worthy. We feel more confident. And it's just like that little thing of perspective in the present moment.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. So the Course in Miracles, you are spot on. It definitely teaches like small shifts in perspectives. And there's something that has stuck with me that like a foundational, I guess, principle that it teaches is that there are only, first of all, the miracle is that there is only love. That is it. There is only love. And in each moment as humans with free will, we get to choose love or fear. And so when we're working with someone else and it feels like an attack or it feels like they're not choosing love, the trick is to look at that as they're either coming at you lovingly, and if they're not, then they're coming at you with a call for love.
Oh, that's, yes.
So it's like they're either loving you in this moment or they have forgotten who they are. And if they've forgotten who they are in that moment that feels like an attack to you, then that could be interpreted as a call for love, that they're not feeling love, and that you can like, you still protect your boundaries, right? You still protect your energy, but like you can energetically send love. And in that moment, that completely shifts the energy.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Sarah came to visit me. Well, I don't know. It'll probably be like a month past once we actually, this actually records. But one of the things that we were talking about was this study in A Course in Miracles. And I just want to say, like, it was such a reminder, Sarah, because when I was dabbling in it, it was probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. And it's almost something that was like on my path that had anyone asked me, like, what are some key things that really helped you? I would have never thought, of the, you know, the Course in Miracles. But when you and I were talking about it, it ignited this like, God, I should pull that out. And even just, I totally forgot about the whole, there is only love. Mm. And it's either like fear or like you said, a call for love. Mm-hmm. And even I see that as like difficult relationships where, hopefully most people don't deal with this, but if we have people in our lives where forever, whether it's a coworker, a business partner, a family member, whatever, where they kind of drive us nuts, or they're the reason we have boundaries and they're always tackling those boundaries, I think that it just totally shifts it for me as like a, this person isn't intentionally attacking me. It's a call for love. And then I can do whatever I want with that, right? I can be like, let me demonstrate self-love for you. You need to get out of my life. Or I can be like, we can have a conversation, you know, showing them love, showing myself love. These are all really powerful things. And not only for us to choose, but in times where it's difficult, I think if we can imagine other people are choosing that too, right? Other people are trying to feel loved. And so a lot of times when we're against someone, it's like, we're really just both trying to feel love, validation, whatever. Like, how can we actually get on the same team? That was one hell of a tangent. I don't know how I got there, but here we are. And also when Sarah came to visit me, it was so funny because we went out to eat with with Kristen Barber, who was on episode 39, I think. And I told Sarah when I was driving to her Airbnb to pick her up to go to dinner, I was like, I feel like I'm on a first date. I'm like sweaty.
And I was so glad you said that because I was feeling the same exact way. I was like, so nervous and excited to meet you in person.
I know. I was like, God, what is this feeling? It's been a while since I've had first date nerves. Okay. So this is kind of a little bit something we talked about on this. So Sarah, take your time in crafting an answer. But this idea of like psychic protection, I brought it up, you brought it up. I'm curious, when you say it for you personally, what does that mean? Like, what do you do? And I'm sure if your practice, I'm sure will evolve and change. It has evolved and changed. But like, right now, when you think of like, I'm going into a situation where I want some psychic boundaries, or I feel like I need to, you know, beef up my protection, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, it's a work in progress, but I really want to talk about, and I think this card is like a great illustration of this as well. I want to talk about the session that we had, Gina, when I was visiting you. So we swapped hypnosis sessions, and I feel like when I was in the chair and Gina was facilitating, that a lot of what I experienced with my spirit guide, Simon, was teaching me this idea of like psychic protection, in the sense that you're staying very, very grounded and rooted, and also acknowledging the protection and the light that you have. And so I think that maybe sharing what I experienced, like if others resonate with this, in the sense of like using it for some sort of like guided meditation or just a practice to feel more grounded. So I experienced almost just like this card, just like this completely black abyss.
Yeah. Oh my God.
This black abyss. And that sounds so scary, but oh my gosh, it felt so good. It was just like all of this black, heavy, like almost like the feeling of like a weighted blanket times 1,000, just like this very beautiful feeling of like really sinking into my body, really sinking into my body. And not only that, but like letting Mother Earth hold me, letting gravity do its job, and just like not trying to escape from my body. I mean, I feel like that's what we're doing in our mind. We're like all over the place.
Yeah.
But in the present moment, like if we really just sink in, I think getting grounded is probably the most, for me, the most important part of being protected, or feeling protected. And so if this works for someone else, I have been trying, now that I've experienced this hypnosis session, to just close my eyes for a moment. And the first sensation that I have is like, okay, we just went from a lot of visuals, a lot of image, to like, okay, there's some darkness behind my eyelids, and like pausing there for a moment. Because what I want to do is like jump a few steps ahead and tap in with my spirit guides and see what's going on and see what insight that I can get to, or like what visuals can come up. But I think it's so important to just pause in that initial, just like, whew, okay. And just really sink in and like feel your shoulders getting heavier, feel gravity working against your body, and let that bring to your mind a sense of like feeling held, feeling supported. I know, Gina, you work a lot with like the imagery of like roots and like really, like if that works for you, I think that's great as well. Just like really like visualizing roots, then leaving your body into Mother Earth. And the whole time, just really feeling that like sinking in feeling. And once you feel really grounded and really secure and really held and really safe, then try calling in that light. Oh. Then try calling in the light. And once you have that light, then it's that feeling of like finding that balance, finding your center in between the two, and then move into the work that you're doing with spirit. It's all about acknowledging both sides. And I think I have gotten caught up in like just running towards the light, right? Because on an earth level, on the surface, that seems better. That seems more protective. Let me run to the light and leave kind of my roots behind. That's my initial instinct. But I think the work that I'm doing, the work that my spirit guides are encouraging me to do, is stay somewhere in the middle. Like, don't completely leave your roots, your body, your home when you're doing this work, because at the end of the day, like, that's what we come back to when we're done with this psychic work. And so we need to make sure that we're protecting our physical body as well.
Ooh. Yeah. And even that idea of sinking into the body and just being present, I guess, which is also relevant to the card. And because I think what we forget too is that even if we're so awake that we say things and believe things like I'm a spirit having a human experience or whatever, as opposed to a human having a spiritual experience. And I think what we forget is often the power of our body. Like you said, we're always running toward that light and we forget the power of our body. And our body is earth. So even just being present in that darkness behind the eyelids, being present in, you know, if sometimes I think what's cool is when people will be like, move your presence to your belly, move your presence to your knees. Like, what? Like, I can't say I practice that, but when I hear it or it hits my radar, I'm like, that's so wild. Because yeah, like we all live our life kind of like from behind our eyeballs. Mm-hmm. So even that is like almost out of our body. Mm-hmm. If you go from like the earth up, if we were standing. So I love that idea of like being held in the earth and in the balance between the grounding, the earth, and the light, the wisdom, the healing. It's not surprising to me that a spirit guide would be like, you got to find the balance there. Of course I do.
One more thing to balance in my life. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, balance? Who can balance for me? Oh my God, I love that. Okay, one more question for you, Sarah. When you talk about like the full moon, do you have your own ritual that you do on every full moon, new moon? Do you just do it? Is it like a big deal? Is it just something you think about? What does that practice look for like for you right now?
Right now, I do have a practice. This is very fresh. I think this is probably the third or fourth full moon that I have made it a practice. The first thing that I do is look at what sign the full moon is going to be in. And it's helping me to learn astrology from that angle as well. It's just been like an exciting way to also dig into astrology. And once I, you know, figure out what exactly the sign of the full moon is going to be in, I then say, okay, what word does that bring to my mind? And so when I thought about the Scorpio energy, the word that came up for me immediately was transformation. And so from there, taking a moment to check in, ground in with my spirit, ground into my body, check in with my spirit guides, and just ask for any guidance around transformation. I usually pull a couple of cards. I feel like another beautiful part of the full moon is like community. And I really love that a lot of people are going the route of social media of like posting around a full moon or posting around a new moon, because I really love to like check in with community and see like, how are other people feeling about transformation or Scorpio energy or the full moon? Lighting a candle is almost always a part of my practices, my rituals. It's all about surrender for me. Like I really, on a full moon, I really love to just surrender something energetically. And so for me, this past full moon, it was about, okay, what can I surrender so that I can bring in more transformation, more creative energy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What can I surrender to bring in more creative energy? Ooh, that's a good one. When you think of creative energy, what is that to you?
When I think of creative energy, I think of claiming our power to create the life and the experience that we want for ourselves here.
Ooh, that was good. That was in the moment.
Oh my goodness. I used to get so caught up on creativity having to be artistic. And I love art. Do not get me wrong. I love when I feel the calling, I love to put pen on paper or, you know, paint with my partner when I feel that calling. But I think I was doing myself a disservice to think that that is where creativity stops with like art.
In
the traditional sense. And when I really stepped into my power of like, oh, I am the co-creator of my life, like of my experience, when I stepped into the power of that sort of creativity in the sense that like what I dream becomes reality for me, what my perspective becomes reality for me, when I claimed that as creativity, now it's like, oh, hell yeah, I'm a creative person. But in the past, I would have struggled with that adjective for myself.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. Yeah, I agree. I think that that's something that that I think maybe we're somehow default, like kind of programmed to think of it as that. And then just in the society we live in, it's like, and now how are you going to make money off this creativity? Yes. I think of creativity is something that I've been thinking about, you know, just in a few different ways, but just this idea of how that creative energy, that force, whatever that is, whether it's like energy from your second chakra or just a different way that our body, I don't know, produces magic, but I think of creation from everything to like, you know, creating a doodle while you're talking to someone on the phone, to having a baby, to making some love, to like, there are so, and everything in between. And it's like, how are you crafting your life? And even Sarah, I don't know if you, what you would think about this, but I even like how we're both certified as hypnotherapists through the National Association of Transpersonal Hypnotherapists. I think it's like, is this a certification or is this like a trade or an art form? And I think that at some point we're kind of splitting hairs because who is it a certification to? Like, what are the national, all of these things that change state to state and all of that stuff. But I think of, where was I going with that? I don't know.
I like what you were on to, though.
Like the art form. Like it's an art. Like everything we do, using our gifts, whether it's like showing your great smile to someone who needs it, like all of that stuff is more like an art form. But when I say that, it's because I equate creativity to art. You know what I mean? But even just looking at it, like, okay, well, maybe I'll just expand my view of what art is. Like, art could be the way I mow the lawn tomorrow. Art could be, you know, like what direction and whatever.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely.
Sarah, thank you so much for doing these episodes. And
thank you so much.
You are welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you know someone who would appreciate this oracle reading or this conversation, please send them this episode. I'd appreciate it. And I appreciate you just being here, being open to this journey. Until next time, take care.